This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host Jessica, and today with me is Dylan Fox.
Hello, it's really great to be back. I've missed you, Jess, and it's really great to be on again. Hopefully, all the great listeners of the show really enjoy what we're putting down here because, I've missed hearing you and your thoughts on All Japan, and now I get the honor and the prestige of being here live and in person to talk about it with you. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I brought you on for a mini episode. So we only have one show to cover. Basically, it's a finale of Tag League. So the last day where they had the winner crowned. I will be honest, 100%, I did not watch Tag League at all. I was burnt out. I had so much stuff going on. I'm like, I had to skip this Tag League. I cannot sit in front of my computer and watch, what was it, like 6-7 days of this? How'd you feel about Tag League? Because I know you watched it.
I did. We talked about it at first on my show, The Eastern Lariat, and we talked about, like, the first half of the tournament, and my thoughts on it were, like, you know, every team is doing pretty good, you know? Like, it's been a very aggressively pretty good tournament.
Like an average tournament.
Yeah, and then we had, like, three or four more shows, and now you get the upgraded and updated version of what my thoughts are about it, and I definitely have come away with this whole tournament thinking, this is the definition of an average tournament, as you said. So nothing changed. If you watch one show, if you watch eight shows, I feel like you will be on the same page. I think that the good thing about this tournament that I like is that they'll be able to really mix and match the juniors and the heavies. That they actually felt like they tried to do that this year. And a lot of times that doesn't really happen as much. Sometimes you'll get into the All-Asia division and stuff, like when Hayato and Anzai were teaming. And that was awesome, for the record. And now we got this where you got to see people like, you know, Atsuki and Hayato team together and get wins and stuff like that. Obviously, there's been so much weird stuff going on in the company as a whole the last couple of months that also has kind of put a damper on it, I think, to a lot of people. It's kind of hard to get excited where it feels like there's another, like, scandal of some sort around the corner, which is where we're at with All Japan right now. Or even weird stuff like, you know, Go suddenly showing up and joining Havoc was something, like, super unexpected. And not that he's done bad at all. I think he's done a great job, actually. His team with Ashino was probably one of the better ones of the tournament. I think anybody would expect that. But as it is, I would say everything's been good at best, like, yeah. And kind of below that beforehand. And I mean, and also ultimately, I do think in general, not just this tournament, but actually every tournament, whether it's the Carnival, whether it's the, you know, Real World Tag League, whether it's any league, G1, N1, whatever, a lot of times, in my opinion, the tournament is kind of it's a make or break situation when it comes to the final. So if you're into the final and they deliver, like that, remember that tournament a couple of years ago when Nakajima was around and him and Omori won the tag league? Got a huge reaction and everyone loved it so much. Yeah. When the rest of the tournament wasn't even that different from this year's version, but because the final was so dope, everybody, like, looked at that fondly. Obviously not as much now, considering what happened with Nakajima, where whatever he's doing with Suwama these days in Glate, but I did hear that they just dropped their subscription service too, so I don't, I actually don't legit don't know what's going on with that. But as long story short, the final of the tournament a lot of times will determine what your feelings are anyway. So if you're really into, you know, what's going on with the champions and the big guy team with Talos and Ayame, I think you might have a more positive version of the tournament. But if you're not into that, you'll think, man, why should I even watch this at the end of the day? So I think that's really where it's going to come down to for a lot of people.
I was going to say, do you think having the juniors in Tag League is good, or would you rather them have their own tournament? Because they did. They had Junior Tag League of Battle, or
Yep.
Junior Battle Tag League, or whatever it was called. So
The
how do you
Battle of
feel?
Glory.
Oh, yeah, that was
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. I like it personally because it gives the chance for fresh matches. Not that I'm not against the juniors having their own tournament. I think you could actually do both, have a special representative. I mean, they've been doing that in Carnival for years with like back when Aoki was able to be in the Carnival. Rest in peace to him. But you could do stuff like that. You had the Sato and Tamura in this tournament as a team, and also, as I said, Atsuki and Hayato. So I like that they're doing because you're getting fresh matchups more than anything. And when the juniors get a win, it feels like an epic win and a big moment. Whereas a lot of times, let's be honest, every other team outside of the finals, there really wasn't a single memorable win, really. But to see Atsuki and Rising win in the opening night's main event, that felt like a huge deal. Like, okay, they're serious about these guys. These guys are now proven to be on the level of Kento and Yuma. Or, yeah, excuse me, Yuma and Yuma. You know, I had business tag flashbacks there for a second. It's just because I want them to be together instead of Kento being his current partner. And but yeah, so but them winning over Double Yuma, that felt like a huge deal at the end of the day. You know, and hopefully they're able to build upon that in the future. It's not like they suddenly have to like become heavyweights now, but it actually just gives a little bit of boost to the junior company, in my opinion, junior division.
I just thought maybe because like if you're going like down the list of tag teams and you're just like, okay, here's a junior team, they're not winning, I can cross them off. Another junior team, cross them off. Who was it? Jiro and Takashi, definitely cross that off. It's just like I feel
Please,
like
God, cross that
there's
off.
no way they're winning. Is it worth them even being in tag league?
Well, there's credence to that, actually, to be fair. But also, that would count for like every team in the tournament almost as well, outside of like three, maybe. You know, so that's kind of how it goes a lot of times. The tournaments are like, you kind of know who the main guys are going to be. But if you could make people interesting and give, it's not so much them winning the tournament, but giving them moments during the tournament, I think is what you have to go for teams like that. And again, not just them or not even just junior teams, but actually every team in particular. So if that really says is like, if you're a team like Hideki and Mashimo, you really didn't get any big moments in this tournament at the end of the day. And I like them, obviously. I'm a huge Kengo Mashimo fan. He was one of my favorites. Hideki, I loved for a long time. Lately, even I'm starting to reach my limits with him, to be honest. But on paper, I love that team. And I still think he had one of the best matches for June's title reign. I will still defend that. But they didn't have any big moments in this tournament. So it kind of makes you wonder, you could have replaced them with somebody else if you thought like that. Or, you know, well, Kuma and Hokuto, they had some interesting moments where they like played it more serious unexpectedly. So that was kind of cool, even if they didn't win a ton. You can really make moments for people, and I think that's what you have to go for. And I do think they accomplished that for Atsuki and Hayato more so than Yoshioka and Musashi, I would say.
Who, or if you remember, who did you think would win?
So for me, I honestly thought at first W was the favorite. Oops on that. So I thought that they had a good chance to win. Obviously, they've gone in a different way and whatever with Aoyagi is a part of it. But regardless, they went with a different way with that and also with the Triple Crown that they've set up throughout the tour with Anzai and Jun Saito doing their thing. So really after that happened with Aoyagi, I was really skeptical and I thought things were super up in the air. I actually thought there was a good chance they would go with Talos and Ayumi, to be honest with you, because I think that they have. First of all, I personally will admit this. I'm a fan of them as a team. I like Talos. Like, I think he's a really good find. And it's something I've said. If you look back at the history of this company, all the time, really, throughout their whole history. But in recent years, going back to, Francesco Akira, you get people like Aigle Blanc, Mike D, and now Talos. It's like these guys who were not big names by any means, but somehow they bring him in and they just really get a spot. Cyrus is coming back, they announced at the end, too. That's another guy that wasn't well known, but found a way to be here. And I think Talos is the next in the line. I really like what he's putting down. I think he helped out IMA a lot, actually, in the tournament.
Yeah, I kind of thought they'd go for like a Havoc showdown, so have Ashina and Go win. But then I was also thinking double Yumas, but then Honda and Nomura. But yeah, none of those even made the finals.
Yeah, we were completely wrong on that. I liked your idea of Go and Ashino too. I thought they were one of the best teams in the tournament, to be honest. And I don't think that's any surprise. I liked them together because I thought so. Go joining Havoc was weird to me. It wasn't really what I imagined, but in execution, I liked it, especially for Ashino because he was kind of like the manager almost of the group when it was just Odyssey and Zion as the champions. And Ashino wasn't really able to do anything beyond being a third wheel. But with Go joining, you have a regular partner. It gave him a little bit of a bump with the TV belt. So I think it's actually helped him out a lot more. I don't know why they didn't win, actually. Like, I think they would have been at least in the finals, would have been good. And also would have made sense to have them face the other Havoc team as well. So I probably would have done that. I guess we'll have to wait and see what the future holds for Ashino and Go in terms of what happens at the end of the year show.
So, just before we get to the wrestling, I do want to mention a friend of the podcast and a friend of ours personally, Dr. Jonathan Foy. He has a new book coming out soon called Freedom and Faith. So, there's no release date so far, but please watch his space. We'll definitely announce on the podcast when it comes out. We'll definitely talk about it. It's not exactly about All Japan, but it's my podcast. I can talk about what I want. He has other books out, so the Muto Years. Or Genbo, how All Japan Pro Wrestling survived the year 2000 roster split. And as a bonus, if you have Kindle Unlimited, these two books are on there so you can get them for free.
Big shout out to Dr. Jonathan, first and foremost. As you said, he's a good friend of mine. As I understand it, he has accomplished a lot with this book. And in fact, someone that I know very, very well is quoted pretty extensively in that book as well. So I think this person is one of the greatest experts of our generation, in my opinion. One of the best looking ones, in fact, as well. And a great graphics designer at the same time. Somehow Dr. Jonathan tracked him down for his knowledge and expertise, and it's made his greatest book yet, in my opinion, which I cannot wait to read the full version of. Of course, I honestly read his first two books. They're such a great history lesson for a time. First of all, the first one is one that's been talked about a lot with Gunbaru, with the Noah and All Japan split. But he really went in depth and was able to get great sources. And then the Muto years is something that has kind of fallen by the wayside to a lot of modern fans. And now with this Noah book, he gets to un unleash a whole new era of things. So I love the way he's able to jump at different time pieces of wrestling history in Japan. And it's something I think is great to see people that, and I know people from the first two books that didn't even know anything about All Japan, and they got were able to look into it more, and it was able to make new fans for the company. So hopefully this Noah book does the same, where you get the history lesson, but it inspires the readers to jump into the modern version as well.
Yeah, just yeah, please look out for it. Just search it up. Jonathan Foy is just excellent when it comes to wrestling. He's got like such a big brain about everything. Like he talks about like the 2000 split, and then the next week he'll come on here and talk about modern day old Japan. So he knows a lot. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh no, he's a super he's really good as a writer first and foremost because he's able to really one thing I like about his style that he showed, and again maybe this will change with the Noah book, but through his first two books, he really presents like facts a lot. Like, he's really big on going for what happened, and he doesn't try to really influence the reader too much. And he kind of lets you lead your own conclusions a lot in his writing. And I said that when I did the review for him, for the first couple of books. It's something I mentioned is that I liked his style of doing that. And like I said, I can't wait to read the full version of Freedom and Faith. I love the title. It should be a banger cover as well. That's one thing you can note with his books, because I know who he reaches out to design them, and they do a great job on there. So, like, I really think it's going to be a great one. It's interesting to jump out from the All Japan wing into NOAA, and I just think, and the thing is, me and Jonathan, we've talked a lot about these books, and I know that his work ethic is like so strong. Like, he's been working on this forever. Like, I promise. So whatever you put down in that book, I promise he's been doing it for years in terms of looking up stuff, researching stuff. And the people he goes to for help are all super knowledgeable. And that's why I dissuaded him from coming to me for help. I said, you need better people to do things with your book. But no, in all seriousness, he's gonna really do great with this. So looking forward to it. Can't wait to talk to him about it more. I'll probably have him on my show as well, so when we talk about it. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
He'll be everywhere when his book comes out. So just search up any wrestling podcast. He'll be on this one. He'll be on your one.
Yeah, exactly. I think he should be. He should be. I think everybody. I'm gonna try and get him on post wrestling too, who I have connections with. See if I can pull some strings for him. But and more importantly, Jonathan is a great guy too. Like I said, I'm a big fan of his as a person. So, big shout out.
Yes. So now we should get to the wrestling. Because we're only doing one show, we're going match by match instead of just, a couple matches like we usually do. So we're going to start off with the juniors, Asuka Yagi, Raizin Hayato, Rei Inoue, and Shota Kafuji, defeating Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, Sego Tachibana, and Kairi Sato. So I have some good news about this and bad news. We'll just start with the good first. So I think it's always a good choice to have the juniors come out to start the show and get the crowd going. Like, it's even better if they're in the main event, but today obviously they weren't because it's the finals. I really, really like this match. It was fast paced, a ton of fun. Everyone got their chance to shine. I did enjoy Inoue and Hikaru going at it at the start. I described him like months ago as kick boy versus kick man, and yeah, that's still a thing. I think Shota Kafuji looked great. Like, please sign him, All Japan. He would be such a get for the juniors. Like, he fits in so well. And that's the thing about the juniors. Everyone really fits together and meshes so well. Poor Sego Tachibana getting hit by his own teammates and then refusing to come in and help him out. I'm just like, go help the guy, yeah? I thought it was just a really good start to the show. I would have made one change, and that's Sago getting the pin over Asuki, and I'll tell you why soon. But what do you think of the match?
So first of all, I definitely think we need much more justice for Sego Tachibana in the year 2026. So I really think that he's actually a lot of fun every time he's on a show. But I'm glad that you mentioned about Inoue. Kick Boy is so freaking great. I love him so much. I don't know if you saw it, the All Japan and Dragon Gate Doi show that they did last month. But he wrestled a guy named Mochizuki Jr. on there, and it was like totally stole the show. Like, Inoue is one of the best. All the Dragon Gate fans were going crazy for him, and they were like, oh, we need to get this guy like here at Dragon Gate more. Him and Mochizuki killed it, and they just had a banger match. And every time he comes out, Inoue, and he's a guy that always, like, the thing I like about him, and Kafuji too, this is true for him. I'm glad you mentioned him. I don't like praising him that much because I don't want Gerard to know that I like him too, of Emerald Flow Show. But he was so right about him because Kofuji is the man. Like you said, this is a guy, and, January 2nd needs to be walking out in that tracksuit. And I think he would look damn good in it, in my opinion, personally. I don't know about you, Jess. But I think he would wear that really strongly. I think he's a great signing for the company, and I think that he has a bright future in this company going forward, especially if they do sign him, obviously. But in a way, I feel like there's going to be a day where he's like the dude in the division, I feel like. And through the great work they've done this year, not just in tag league, it was cool to see Atsuki and Hayato do okay. But really, even before that, when they had the tournament, they had an amazing final match in the tournament with Atsuki and Hayato that everyone loved. I really feel like the junior division has been one of the great bright points of the company this year. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened that's had mixed results, like up and down the company, like not just now, but really all year. There's been stuff that people have complained about, some people love, some people hated, but the junior division is so strong. I got into some trouble on my show when I said this was the best it's been in All Japan, the junior division, in the past. I thought it was the best it's ever been. And, some people pushed back at me, some people agreed with me. There's been great times before, and I even said, I was like, yeah, that time in the early 2010s was special. Like, it was great. Like, I'm not going to really say one way or the other, but it's definitely one of the best it's been in the last decade. It's been the best it's been in the last decade with the junior division right now. And I think one day, in a way, is going to be at the top of the heap of all that.
Hopefully, I think we're all waiting for it. Like last year on the 31st, we had that match with Kento against Anzai and Hayato, and the crowd were going insane for Inoue. I thought that would start something, but then they kind of like dropped him. And he keeps like changing character, changing outfits. I hate the outfit he's in now. He needs to go back to
It's
the
not
leather
great.
jacket, those glasses, and the shorts. I hate the outfits he's in. We're just all hoping one day. I think the same thing for Ishino. Let's like give Ishino a belt. He got the Garou title. So it's like, okay, now Inoue. He's the guy we have to, be behind and push him.
They need to restart GOA and put Rio Inoue in it with Sago and Ashino and Honda. Like, that's going to be my new version of GOA. Give him the shades, get Honda his old hair back, and we are off to the races. And then Ashino wins the Triple Crown.
Yes.
Okay, nobody believes that. But it's what I want. Okay.
I don't think anyone thought he'd win the Champion Carnival. He won that.
That's right. See, out of all the languages you could speak right now, Jessica, you chose to speak facts to me. So they need to listen to you and do the unexpected by proving me wrong. I know that president hates my guts. Do what I think you won't do, okay? Just to prove me wrong. That's
Something
all I
good.
ask. Yes, only good things to prove me wrong, not bad things, please.
Okay, well, let's talk about something bad now. Later, so
What?
yeah, I know. Later in the show, we had an announcement that Asuki's next opponent will be Kurama. They are a wrestler wearing a fox mask, and I was like, "Ooh, who's this mystery opponent?" I had no idea. So it turns out they are a horrible person. It is the former Yatsutaka Yano from Noah. He and fellow Noah wrestler Kinya Okada were arrested for touching someone inappropriately. Let's just say it was sexual assault. Apparently, charges were dropped and he ended up apologizing, but that doesn't change what he did at all. So, just like out of all the juniors, why have Asuki faced this guy? It's disgusting. It's super disappointing, especially because he did this in Japan. So, it's very much well known in Japan. It was in the media in Japan. And, All Japan haters to the Japanese fans. They don't really care about us Western fans, to be honest. So, a lot of Western fans are saying like they're done with All Japan, and I don't blame them at all. What I did find interesting though is that Japanese fans aren't too happy with it either. Of course, I saw someone say, let his wrestling just do the talking. He only had one strike, so just give him a chance. But a lot of them aren't happy. And I'm hoping with they that they are unhappy that All Japan kind of listens to them. I don't think it will happen, but we've got like a 0.1% chance. It's just like you got to remember they did boo the president. So if they don't like something, they will make themselves known. But so going back to what I was saying about the match, they had the perfect opportunity to set up Asuki's new opponent and just have Sago pin Asuki instead of Asuki pin Sago. Like it was so easy. Instead, they fuck it up and get this asshole of a guy who should be nowhere near a wrestling ring. And just like, I'm just so unhappy, disgusted, and disappointed. Like, All Japan is ending the year with Kento and Anzai, which is going to be like an amazing match. And then start the year with this like piece of shit,
I've followed his career like way before everything happened, and like that, they, like when that happened, when him and Okada got arrested, I don't think this is as well remembered now, but they were literally like, they were arrested at backstage of a show, and they were pulled from the show as an emergency situation, and we never knew anything. Like, they didn't say, it's not like they got arrested and suddenly it was like, oh, we know exactly what happened. Literally for like 6 months, we didn't know what had
Yes, I
happened.
remember. Yes, I remember that
Yeah.
happening.
Yeah, and I actually, like, for me personally, I remember going back at this, and a lot of people were kind of like, a lot of people compared it to thinking like, oh, maybe this is kind of like when Jake Lee got drunk that time and had to apologize and all that stuff. And I had a really bad feeling about it because, like I said, this isn't like, and I'm not trying to disparage anything, but like, this isn't like some kind of like something that we don't know that can't be proven. Like, this guy got arrested. Like, he admitted that he did it. It happened. Okay. In Japan culture, a lot of times there is a big gap between like separate the personal lives and the public lives. But this happened right before a show, like when they got arrested. What he did was so heinous and so bad that they had no choice. Like, they had to get rid of these guys and just cut the cord. And it was, you know, that's very rare in Japan, even with scandals and things like that. A lot of times there will be an effort to sweep things under the rug. But this didn't happen with him. And that shows like how bad he messed up and what terrible things that he did. So after that, he basically went to Mexico. Like, I think a month after it got announced, he posted an apology on Twitter, as you mentioned. The Japanese fans, again, some were negative, but a lot were positive too, to be honest. If you quote tweet the post where it got announced, you'll see a lot of positive Japanese comments. I do have to admit that. Obviously, with the Western fans, it's like, who would possibly not hate this? You know, like, there's nothing good about it. It totally sucks. And like I said, he was kind of in Mexico right away. That was around late 2023. And I'll be honest, Jessica. You know, we talked about this on my show, and I thought when his apology got it posted and we saw the reaction to it, I honestly figured one day he would find his way back into Japan. Not at this level, though. Like, I didn't think he would ever be able to resurface in a NOAH or an All Japan. I thought he would be on the level of like the same companies that Joji Otani works, who's like committed some horrible acts of his own, and is still wrestling. Like, but he's in going nowhere promotions, like, pretty much. Like, that's where I thought he would wind up, is that he'd be back home in promotions that are not well known or visible. The fact that All Japan's doing it is baffling to me. Like, what is the, like you said, they could have booked anybody, like any kind of wrestler in this spot, and given somebody a chance. If you want a fresh face, get somebody new. I get that. But you had so many options in your home country that you could have pulled out, and that would have been on an indie show that doesn't have these terrible acts that they've committed before. That's going to turn off a lot of your fan base. And even in Japan, like you said, people have taken notice. Like, there's people that will not be comfortable with this man, and watching him. And, you know, some people can say something about rehabilitation or whatever, but at the end of the day, the first thing he did was go to Mexico and hide under a mask. You know, like, that to me, it just isn't right. Like, bringing him in is just not right at the end of the day. And I feel bad, particularly for any, you know, fans that are women out there. And, you know, in Japan, this is a problem. Like, it's a cultural phenomenon and problem. And it's just very sad that it's now infiltrated a major company for no reason. Like you said, this is so easily avoidable. They're shooting themselves in the foot over and over. And I just don't understand what they gain from this. Like, what is the upside of this? Even if everything works out well, people aren't just going to forget this. This, like you said, this is a sexual case, a sexual crime. Who is going to forget that? Nobody. And it's just sad that we have to live with it. So I'm really sorry for the female fans of All Japan, locally especially, that are going to be
Which
at the
they're the
building.
majority of fans. female
Yeah.
friends.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, this is just tone deaf and just stupid and just wrong. And I hope that the only thing I can hope for is that the fans are safe and nothing crazy happens, because this is a guy that cannot be trusted around women fans, in my opinion.
I hate like, oh, like you're right when saying it, like, oh, it's a cultural thing. They do stuff differently in Japan, but like these are crimes. And the thing is,
Yeah.
like, when Odyssey had his allegations come out against him, he was dropped immediately. WWE scrubbed his name clear. You know, this guy commits this act, he flees to Mexico. And to s say something we both love, the Yakuza series, the next game
Yeah,
that they're
yeah.
remaking three, there's a guy in there that committed sexual assault. And everyone's like, yeah, if you don't take this guy, I'm done. You know, I've played all your
Yeah.
games, but like, no, nah, I can't play this. You know, they had a guy do drugs and they replaced him just like that. You
Yeah,
know, because
I
he's already
remember
out
that,
and they
yeah.
replaced the character. But this guy, there's like,
And I think he was heard that proven innocent, by the way. Like, they
yeah.
have Yakuza 4, yeah.
And this guy was like, you know, he committed these crimes. And there's, I think there's like photos of it. And they're like, no, nah,
Yeah.
we'll keep him in. It's just like, so
Yeah.
that happened in like my favorite game series. And like, this
Yeah.
has happened in my favorite company. Like, it needs to stop. And unfortunately, it's not going to.
And I don't know how much we could do more than what we're doing, you know. And like you said, there's been a lot of people that are just like, hey, I'm done with this, you know. And unless this changes and they clean this place up a little bit, because like you said, you know, unfortunately, he's not even the first person with those dark allegations that, like you mentioned with Odyssey. You know, like, and there's been stuff that's happened in Japan before. There's people in New Japan. Michael Elgin got booked in a bunch of companies, like, after everything happened. I just don't understand it fully. And, you know, it's just a terrible thing, like you said. And it just sucks that they did this. And like you said about Yakuza 3, like she said, we're both big fans. We've talked for hours about that series before. And I do remember that scandal when that happened with the guy from Yakuza 4. And he was like an actor too. He
No, he
wasn't
was
even
in on
just like,
Judgment.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just crazy how all that happened. But yeah, you know, this just sucks at the end of the day. And like I said, my only hope and prayer is that everybody's safe. And ultimately, if you're not comfortable with this, nobody blames you at all. Like, nobody would blame you. Just do what's best for yourself. And if you're not, if you're a fan, if you're a women's fan or a men's fan, do what you need to do to be safe with your mental health right now, because this is a very uncomfortable thing that we're having to witness right now, unfortunately. And that's not, obviously, none of us made that decision at all. Like, you know, I like I said, I haven't seen one person in English even not be 100% negative.
You know what's funny? The thing about he's a guy caught with drugs. We were talking about
Yeah.
the same thing, but I happened to do different characters. So you were talking about
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about
in Fall. I was talking about the guy in
yeah.
Judgment. So
And
it happened
twice in
twice.
the same series. Oh, and so, but the thing is, they remember they redid him, like, yeah, the remake of 4. So yeah,
And
you're
he
right.
was
How
found
did that
innocent.
happen
Yeah,
twice?
that's so
Yeah,
funny.
he was found innocent. I think the guy from Judgment was guilty, but crazy.
We're gonna talk about, I guess, more positive wrestling. It was Hokuto Omori and Kumarashi defeated Kurushio Tokyo Japan and Takashi. So this kind of like Hokuto Gun versus Hokuto Gun, except for Jiro. I do have to confess, Dylan, you're gonna hate me for this. I was like bobbing along to the entrance themes. Like, I haven't heard Jiro's in so long. Okay, like, you know how it plays like twice or three times? The first time I was bopping along, but when I played the second time, I'm like, okay, skip 10 seconds, skip 10 seconds. And then when Hokuto came out, I kind of like the entrance theme. It's so stupid and it's just fun, you know?
You have disappointed me greatly with this, I do have to say. But I will say this. I will say this. I'm about to shock you right now. I don't think Jiro is the worst member of his team.
No. That's
Oh,
not shocking.
okay. Sorry.
When you
I
think
thought I
of
had a
Takashi,
wild
you
hunt.
know.
If it was anyone else, it would be crazy. But
Yeah.
because it's Takashi, it's like, oh, okay, this makes perfect sense, actually.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I mean, it's hard for me to be mad about this kind of match in particular because there's no chance it was going to be anything different than what it was. But let me ask you this, because I don't like talking about Jiro and I really don't like talking about Takashi. What do you think of Kuma's look right now?
I love it. I love the whole white outfit he has. The way he grew out his hair, so it's not just the mohawk. It makes him seem so much younger.
And it does. You're right about that.
Yeah,
I agree. Because I think a lot of people were like weirded out by this just because they're so used to him with the mohawk. Mm. But as a hair connoisseur, and you know this very well, I think that the hair is an A+ upgrade for Kuma.
Yes.
So I'm into it. I like this new version of the team. I think the hair has made me turn the whole corner on Hokuto-gun now. And I'm ready to embrace this faction fully.
Look, I think Hokuto-gun is a really fun faction. You know, they may do silly things. I think All Japan has that silliness, you know, kind of built in. And this time it's like Hokuto's goon job for that. And, you know, they are good wrestlers. The thing is, they can come in and pull out like a really, really good match every now and then. I think the Kuma and Hokuto team are a good team. They work well together. And even like Hokuto now with his white outfit, it just looks so cool. It makes him just look, I don't know, that much better. And I just think it's fun. You know, they're not hurting anybody.
I like it. I like the look. I think we're getting there with them. And like I said, they had a couple of times where it's like, okay, we're going a little bit more serious lately with them. And I do think they are good wrestlers. And I like what they're doing. Obviously, this it's not necessarily them, but I really wanted to get your take on Kuma's hair at the end of the day. This match is not for me because of Jiro and Takashi. But if anything, on the other hand, it makes Hokuto-gun look better by being in the ring with this horrible like version of a comedic team there. So I'm all on board. Hokuto-gun, I love you.
But did you like the end of it where Takashi, like, you know, what's his move when he does the what's it called? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
He, like, you know, stabs, I guess.
Yes.
That's the best way I can say it. Jiro in the throat. He did it to Tachibana for some reason. Why was Tachibana there? Who knows? But
listen,
what happened?
Don't question why Tachibana's anywhere. He can be wherever a match, all the matches, he should be there and get beat up in all of them. If I haven't just, I love it. I love all of this so much right now.
Okay, so do a completely different match. So Goshi Uzaki and Shota Ishino defeated Dan Tamura and Daisuke Sakamoto. So welcome back, Sakamoto. He was supposed to tag with Dan, but missed out because of an injury, which sucked because I was looking forward to them being a tag team so much. This was so good. If you know these four guys, you know what to expect from this match. Lots of chops, lariats, power moves. There was one chop from to Dan from Go, which sounded like a whip crack. Oh, like I winced back, like, oh my gosh, that must have hurt. And then he didn't. Another one to like Sakimoto. They were going at it with chops and stuff. It was so much fun. Dan looked good here. He's the youngest guy and he fit in this like perfectly. This is his style of wrestling. And like, I think this is what he needs more. Just like guys just, you know, going crazy, just hitting each other over and over again until one can't get up. So Ishino and Sakimoto were just going at it outside the ring after the bell rang. And I was just like rubbing my hands like, yes, this is a girl type. He was hard of match in the making. Yes, we're going to get this. And we are. We have two short, beefy kings going at it over a title. And who could want more?
Oh, I totally agree with everything you said. I just think that these guys rule, first and foremost, on their own. They rule against each other. They rule mixed and matched with each other. If they broke up these two teams and like switched them off with each other and made like Go and Daisuke a team, it would still be great. Yeah. Like all of this rules. I think actually Dan is in a great spot heading into next year. Unlike Sago, who is not getting the respect he deserves, and I will fight for him. Dan, I think, is in line for a big push, like in 2026. Like they've shown signs that they're ready to get behind him. They've shown signs that they're ready to pair him with a guy like Sekimoto, who's a legend in the industry. They've shown signs that they want him to be something, and I think they're really preparing him for a big run. I think you could easily see him in the Carnival next year and probably getting some big wins too. And if they are, we need to see these guys in the same block because I want to see them wrestle. I want to see the chops thrown out. I just love Go so much, honestly. Like I said, I'm not in love with the faction like aesthetic really and everything about it. It's kind of like a goofy heel faction. But I just love seeing him wrestle everyone. Like, I want him to wrestle every member of this roster. I want him to chop and make people have blisters up and down this roster. And I think he will make it great. Again, my favorite team in the tournament was Go and Ashino, and I love them again. And Sekimoto and Dan, I hope that they get a tag title shot or something in the future because I think that they have a lot of upside, and I think they're doing a great job with Dan.
What do you think about the Kurotiba title match? Who's winning?
Oh, that's going to be tough. I think that Ashino should keep the belt because he hasn't even had it that long.
Mm.
Do we want to make this belt mean something like when the great Sago was the champion and elevated that belt to the best it's ever been? Then it needs to start with Ashino. If he wants to match his longtime compatriot, Sago, he needs to get some wins under his belt. So I'm going to go with Ashino with that.
I agree. One funny thing about this match is just everybody was wearing like the same gear. They're just all in black.
Yes. Yeah, the most basic match ever in terms of gear. Isn't that another reason why they all fit together? Yeah. If you are a team, you should have aesthetics. You know, if we're a tag team, I'm not going to wear a different color than you. That would just be weird. It just seems like we're mismatched. Would you wear two different kinds of socks that are different colors?
People do.
But they're more stylish than we are, though.
All my socks are black, so I can't complain.
Yeah, true.
Moving on to another tag. I think you might like this one because it involves dragging gate boys. So we had Ishin, Madoka Kakuta, and Yoshiki Kato defeat Jun Saito, Naruki Doi, and Yuma Anzai. So first, I just have to say I love, 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 love that Naruki Doi is now matching the Saito brothers' gear with the long pants and boots. I didn't notice that before. I was like, something's different with him. What is it? And I as soon as I clicked, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. The Darange boys are such a menace in the best way. And I wish we had our own menace, Ricky Honda, in this match. Like, just swap him and Yuma around. Yuma was in this match for a reason. I'll get to soon. It was just so much fun. They were really playing up his heels, made the match, you know, just the more it went on, just fun and more intense and exciting. So after the match, if I understand correctly, Yoshiki Kato was rejected by All Japan in an entrance exam and now wants to get revenge on All Japan. Along with Ishin, they are challenging for the All-Age Tag Team titles, so they're challenging Musashi and Saki Yoshioka. Anzai, on the other hand, has announced if he wins the Triple Crown of Kento, he will nominate Kakuta as his first opponent, which is so good because I want like more with these two. They're so good together. Kakuta, on the other hand, I just saw a fan photo. It was really, really sweet. He had green tape wrapped around his thumb. You know how the wrestlers have green tape wrapped around their wrist for Tai Chi? He had it around his thumb. It was really cute, just like
Yeah.
small. I just think it's really cool to have Dragon Gate guys involved in all Japan, and I just want more of this next year.
Especially these particular Dragon Gate guys, I would say. Because, first of all, I knew that you would love these guys, especially Isshin and Kato. My good friend Amy Hay on Twitter, she always compares them to Bulk and Skull from the Power Rangers, which I think is a great way to describe them. Like, heels, technically, but very lovable ones that are like extremely goofy. Kakuna is, in fact, the Dreamgate champion, which is like their version of the Triple Crown. And he's like the top heel of the company. You know, they rebranded the faction earlier and they started their own group this year because basically Kakuna overthrew the previous leader, Shun Skywalker, who I think a lot of people know. And they've just been the top heels and they've done a great job. But Isshin, I've always said on my show, he's like destined to become a baby face because he's just too lovable. At the end of the day, he's too great. He's too lovable. I mean, he just had a great match with All Japan, former All Japan wrestler Gianni Valletta, the Molten Riki Dozan. And I mean,
Long, not long ago, he was a wrestler for All Japan.
yeah, it was many years ago, but he's now found his way to Dragon Gate. It is kind of awesome, to be honest, in his role in DG. But yeah, these guys are all true heavyweights. Dragon Gate's more known for a junior style. When they've worked together in the past, a lot of times it's been players like Doi who are more junior heavyweights. But these guys, all three, are legit heavyweights. We saw Kakuta in the carnival. He did a great job. And Anzai and him was like my favorite match of the whole
Yeah.
tournament. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. So to see them possibly mix it up again, I think it has to happen. But mainly, I also want to see more of Isshin and Kato. I also love how they challenged Baba, like and like Jumbo Tsuruta and Tenryu and stuff. And
Wait,
they were like,
I have no idea about this. You gotta tell me about this.
yeah. So Isshin was cutting a promo. Was like, I need to go after all the top stars of All Japan. People like Giant Baba and Jumbo Tsuruta. Those are all my guys. And yeah. So obviously, none of those people are alive anymore. Let alone wrestling for All Japan. But that's the kind of comedy these guys do, like totally in their own world and universe, in a universe where they can wrestle Giant Baba, which is not the one we unfortunately live in, because I would love if Baba was still alive. But so they're very comedic and fun, but also they're great wrestlers too. I think Isshin has shown himself to be a strong player. Kakuta really delivered. He was one of the most exciting guys in the carnival. I actually think he's a lot better in All Japan than his run as Dragon Gate champion stylistically. So I think this trio has a lot of potential and upside. I'm glad that they keep bringing him in. And Kato, his character is like, in real life, he was a former some kind of like officer or something,
I have
or
a
like
police officer.
yeah, former police officer. Yeah, and his character is like a delusional heel where he's a hero of justice,
Oh my
but
God.
somehow a part of this goofy, ridiculous heel Bulk and Skull faction. So love all of them. The match was a lot of fun, and really hope we get Kakuta and Anzai again one day.
I just wish I had more time to watch Dragon Gate. Like, I'm not gonna say it on the podcast, but
Okay.
like next year I'll have stuff going on, yeah? That's gonna take up most of my time. And it's just like I hope I have time for All Japan, but I want time for Dragon Gate as well. I really, really enjoy Dragon Gate when I watch it, and I enjoy it when they come into All Japan. I was going to ask before, I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
Just off the top of your head, no explanation needed, just the
Okay.
name. Who could face Asuki for the junior title?
I think the current Twin Gate champions, either Rita or Jackie Funky Kame, should be. Those are the two best high flying style, and they're the most dynamic wrestlers DG has. So either one of Rita or Jackie Kame should get the shot. And I think they would put an incredible match with Anzuki in there if they were able to do that.
Yeah, but we had these Dragon Gate guys who were fantastic. If you are watching this show, watch this match and the junior match. I think they were the two best matches. Oh, and the Go match.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just so much fun. Like, I guess you'd call them like comedic heels, or am I
Yeah.
overstepping? I don't want
No,
to make any Dragon Gate
they
fans mad.
Yeah, no, they are. Like they like I said, they're compared to Bulk and Skull. Like they're totally like goofy heel players. And I totally thought that they were you coded, to be honest, that you would really get a kick out of them when they came in. And I'm glad to hear that you did.
I gotta say, I don't know Power Rangers that much, so I don't know who Bulk and Skull are.
Well, they were like kind of bad guys, but bumbling ones that always got like
It's kind of like Jesse and James from Team Rocket.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect comparison. Yes. Although, does that make Kakuna Meowth, even though he's the champion? I
Well,
don't
you
know.
tell me.
That's a good question. I was literally wearing the first thing we did when we got on call. I bragged to you about the Pokemon shirt that I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
My favorite Typhlosion. So I appreciate the reference, and I think that's a very good descriptor. If you're not familiar with Power Rangers, Jesse and James, Isshin and Kanto.
Oh, he could be like Meowth. Not Meowth. Giovanni, the leader of Team Rocket, since he has a title.
Oh, that's true, but he's not dastardly enough to be Giovanni. Who is like Mewtwo that they need to create? Although there have been robot gimmicks in wrestling before, I think that they need to do that going forward as well. I mean, technically, Strong Machine J is a robot. Like he is a machine, literally, in the lore of Dragon Gate. So shout out to
So the next match, I really don't have much for it. It was Kenta
that.
Miyahara, Riki Honda, and Hideki Suzuki defeated Dave Boy Smith Jr., Kengo Mashimo, and Naoya Nomura. It was fine. I think coming after the last match, I'm just like, that was a lot of fun. This is kind of, I like Honda up against Nomura, and I like I mash their names together. I like Kento up against Kengo. That was really it. Honda stopping Nomura's spear was pretty cool, though. Yeah, but the Dragon Gate guy, six man tag, was better than this.
Imagine if it was Kento, Kengo, and Kano coming together as a team. How would you handle that
I wouldn't say it. I just like.
there? Well, I think that. And then Kendo Kashin would also jump in as a special referee, a former All Japan wrestler. The thing about this match is that there was nothing wrong with it, but after it was kind of like if you watch, imagine you and me, we're talking right now, you see things full color around. Imagine if I left and you turned around and you just saw a world of black and white. That's kind of how this match was. It was like you f saw this really colorful and exciting and charismatic match, and then you had an old school match that didn't really lead to anything of note. So they got him on the show, but I think it would be more interesting if you do watch Dragon Gate in the future. We're going to do a special edition show, either on my show or my Patreon, where we assign every member of Dragon Gate into Pokemon characters in the
I
future.
was with All Japan wrestlers.
We could do that as well if you're
But
up
like
for that.
what gym leader that would be?
Yes, what would their type be that they do? That's definitely an exclusive show I'm pitching to you right now, which is much, by the way, much more interesting than this match if
Yeah,
we do that.
no one's allowed to take our idea, yeah? I'll do a
No.
bonus episode.
Yes, exactly. If anybody steals this from us, I will
I'll sue
sue
you.
you. Yes, we're both going to sue you together.
Well,
Can
if
you
someone
stand
in
against the both
America
of us?
takes the idea, you can sue them. If someone in Australia takes the idea, I can sue them.
Well, even if they're in Australia, I'll go there just to sue them. Never mind seeing you. I'm just going to sue them. That's really all I care about, ultimately.
Kento, like, who do you think?
Okay, so Kento would be fire type, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, now, yes, a part of that is because of his color scheme. I'm not going to lie. But look at the hair. Look at the hair. That is what really makes him, I feel like, a guy that can really come in. He can have a lot of fiery Pokemon. Could he be like a Rapidash? I feel like could be a big Pokemon on his side. That
I think,
Blaziken is automatic to me.
honestly, I think he's so annoying. He would have a Charizard because everyone with a Charizard is so annoying.
Yeah, that's a hardcore douche Pokemon, I will say. Although that when I was a kid, Charizard was kind of like the king. I was
Yeah.
trying to get the heart on the holograph cards and all that stuff. But Kento's fire type for sure.
Yeah.
Charizard, Rapidash, maybe a Magmatar, maybe. That would be good. Like, I feel like he's the type of guy that would need a beefcake type of Pokemon with him too. Like a badass, like big guy. We'll have to workshop this a little bit more, but I think
Yeah.
together we're gonna make this work for sure.
I don't want to talk about
Love it.
any more wrestling. Just let's talk about Pokemon.
I know this was the curse of bringing me on that they would turn into some weirdo stuff like this. Like we're just gonna talk about Yakuza scandals, and not like Yakuza game scandals, and then Pokemon. That's us. This is your future when I come to Australia. That's what it's gonna turn to there too. Like it's somehow going to be related to this.
Okay, so moving on from Pokemon, we have the main event. So it was Tag League Finals. Renayabe and Talos defeat Zion and Odyssey. So my first note was like, I love One Tall Boy. Yabe was so good. Like, I really like him and Talos as a team. Talos like jumping off the top rope and he's like so tall. Like, was just a really cool visual. It looked amazing. The death roulette on Zion is just like so cool. It's such a good move. And it works for Ayabe because he's so tall, so it gets him up real high. It looks really cool. My problem with this is I don't think the tag champ should have made the finals. I'm not a big fan of champions in the finals, especially because Ayabe and Talos won, so they're going to have a rematch. It would be more interesting if there was another team, say like Nomura or Honda. Now, saying that, I do think last year when the Saitos went undefeated and champions and then they won the whole tournament was the right move. But they're the Saito brothers, so it's different. Moving on, Ayabe is like raking in the tournament wins. He has won the Royal Road. He's won Tag League. He just needs to win Champion Carnival, and he's like, I've done a sweep. Then he becomes like a junior, wins the junior tournaments.
Oh, I totally see that happening too. By the way, very, very easily for him.
Yeah. What do you think this match? What do you think of the team winning?
Like I said, I like the team a lot. Like, I think the thing is that's so cool about this team is that, like, Ayabe on his own was a giant, like tall guy. He came in with the glow up for his style, with the new ring jacket and all of that, new haircut. Did his thing, has gotten chances. And yet, when he stands next to Talos, Talos makes him look not as big as he usually does against anybody else on the roster. Because Talos is so freaking tall. Like, how is he able to move as good as he does? Because I think he's a really good big man, honestly. Like, Talos, again, one of these hidden gems nobody knew about coming in. And he just rocks, man. I think everything about him is great. And actually, I thought Ayabe was kind of like, it felt to me like he was kind of like reaching his peak, or maybe more accurately, he plateaued out a little bit. And I felt like he just kind of got to a certain level and never really improved that much. Outside of the title match he had with Aoyagi last year was really strong, and I never felt like he was able to match that again. But with this tag team, I think it's really helping him be in a spot that's more natural for him. Because even when they're on the mic, you'll notice that Talos is cutting these amazing Japanese promos and stuff like
Yeah.
that, and getting this huge reaction. And Ayabe just comes in as like the most soft-spoken guy ever, it feels like. Like, I'm sure he's a super nice guy, but he just is not that loud and brash like the way Talos is, that he's able to get people on their feet and up and over and stuff like that. Ayabe is more like a soft-spoken, nice, good boy. And I think that he needs to be with Talos to kind of unleash a next level of aggression and an extra level of charisma to him. So I think everything about this is working. They obviously want Ayabe to be one of their main stars, and why wouldn't you look at him? Like, pretty much. So I think this is a great path for that. I think they're a really good tag team. I think they deserve the win. I do somewhat agree with you about the champions going to the final, because it's just like, honestly, I would like it better if the champions actually won, because at least there's a point to that. They can call out their own challenger. With them losing, we're just going to have a rematch of the match we just saw. So that automatically makes the title match less interesting. And again, say what you want about this team. Like, to me, they're just not that good. Like, ultimately, like, Zion and Odyssey don't really do it for me as a team. I would rather a bunch of these other ones, I think, are a lot more talented, with all due respect. So automatically, I'm not going to be into them because of that. But just from a narrative perspective, I'm not against champions making the final, but for them to lose in the final, I think you have to have something creative for the second match. And to me, they should just win. Like, Talos and Ayabe, I think they'd be great as champions. I think if you play your cards right, this could be the second coming of a Violent Giants type of situation, where they could be the big, strong team that's like the mountain to overcome for the other teams in the division. You could build a division around them, which of course is ultimately going to culminate. I mean, again, I'm just fantasy booking here. But if you play your cards right, it can ultimately culminate with a showdown between them and the Saito brothers in a battle of the Bigs tag team. I
Oh
think would
wow,
be,
yeah. Just tall guys only.
Yeah, that's the rules of the match. That's the name of the match. Tall guys only.
Just a yes or no an answer. Violent
Okay.
Giants, like S tier tag team name.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So these two are called Titans of Calamity. What do you think about that?
It's wordy, but I also kind of like it. It reminds me of like Clash of the Titans type of deal, you know, like it's very historic, it's very epic sounding, you know. It feels like something that you could throw out, you know, into the ancient Romans, and they feel like they could be two of those type of guys that were the Roman gods. And hey, this could be all a plot to bring Zeus back into all Japan
Don't say that,
with the
because he won't be
Titans.
back, and it'll be sad.
Well, we all want him to be back, though, and this is the
Yeah,
way to do it,
true.
bringing in the king of the Titans, Zeus, coming in there. Maybe they could just work on an Osaka Pro Show for him then, and they'll
They
team
go
up
to
there.
Osaka all the time. It's like, stop giving us the bodyguard, give us Zeus.
Yeah, nobody wants him. Like, we want Zeus. Like, why can't we have Zeus? All Japan.
When he does sing his theme song, that's funny.
I'm glad. I'm glad you feel that way.
There's something you said at the start, how like Talos is taller than Yabe, and Yabe was like the tallest guy here. Do you remember back when he was tagging with Tsuji, and Tsuji was really sad because he was shorter than Yabe? And then Yabe gets a tag partner, and now he's shorter. So we're just going to keep on going up. Talos has to get a tag partner that's even taller than him.
I think we saw Omos in Noah this year,
True.
and now, like, whatever happens with him in WWE, when he gets let go, he now has a home
He
as the
does.
third member of this faction to own, to finally be taller than Talos here, yeah, to keep the trend going.
So, yeah, I feel like an imposter because I didn't watch Tag League. I just watched this match. But I do think Ayabe and Talos deserve
You didn't miss that much, for what it's worth. Like, it was an okay tournament, honestly. Like, there weren't even any that many spectacular matches. Even the good ones weren't like, because usually, like, sometimes you'll get a big match with somebody, and it'll be like a match of the year type of deal. There wasn't anything like that in this tournament, I do have to say. And even the crowds were kind of like not that hype for a lot of this. I don't know what that means. I mean, they did an okay crowd here. It wasn't like a bad crowd, I would say, in Corkin for them. You know, they seemed like they were into everything, and it seemed like they really liked you know, the winners, like Talos and Ayabe, especially Talos was getting like a really big reaction. I don't know. Like, I don't know about this tournament. I don't know if it accomplished a lot. I thought it helped. Like I said, I think Atsuki and Hayato getting that win at the first night actually kind of made them like in a good way. Like, it made their whole tournament worthwhile. Everyone else, it just felt like if they had not done this tournament, they would be basically in the same spot they were before the tournament. Like, there was no growth or negative growth. It's like everybody came in, did their thing, and we're done with it now. And so you got the winners, and you did get another team a little bit more over. And they were already over as it was anyway. So, yeah, it's just a very ho-hum year. Maybe next year will be better, or they can get it back. Like you said, I like your idea of a junior, like, Battle of Glory type of tournament again for everybody. I think that would be a lot of fun, especially with the more them working so close with DG. You've got a ton of options for that. So I hope we can see that in the near future too.
The last time I had it was, help me out here, Kaito Ishida and
Oh
Kotaro
God.
Suzuki.
Oh wow,
They
this feels like
won.
a long ass time ago.
And then Ishida's like, I'll be back soon. And he never came back.
Then he went to follow Nakajima into Glate. On there, so he told Suwaba he would be back, and he meant that they would go to Glate together, I think. And Kotaro, he hasn't been around in a long time either.
Oh
Yeah,
well.
I miss them.
So that was the wrestling. We're just going to move on to notes now. We have one more show to go this year, and it's on the 31st of December. I will be there, so I'm very excited for that, except to watch one,
Yes.
well, two, three wrestles actually, but whatever. Cyrus returns for the first time in months, and I know fans are really excited about that. We have a special singles match between Jun Sato and Go-Shirazaki, which we should be really, really good. All age titles are on the line between Musashi and Seki Yoshioka and the Dragon Gate boys, Kaito and Ishin, like I said before. Kento defends his Triple Crown title against Yuma Anzai, which should be an amazing match. And the most important, the coolest person, Aja Kong, will be there and take part in the Battle Royale.
I think they did it for you
They
because
should.
they knew you were going to be there, and they said, "Look, we have to go all out for this. This is going to be, first of all, mainly all you need to say was Anzai's going for the title. Okay, I'm sold. Like, match show of the year automatic. Like, like for me personally. Everything else is a lot of fun, though, too. I would say Cyrus is coming back. That's your guy there, too. So you got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. And it's going to be a great time, I think. I think everybody's going to try to, like, especially because of all the, like, it's just been a really not great year, I would say, like, up and down for All Japan, especially outside the ring more than anything. It's been a really rough year. So I think they're going to want to try and end it on a really positive note and get some momentum. So I think that every single wrestler is going to put their best foot forward on this show.
How mad here? Do you remember? Well, at one point in like this year, Aja Kong was part of the Hokuto Army. Is she still part of the army?
She has to be. Why would she not be? She never left.
I think she hit everyone with her metal can.
Does she
Deservedly,
does
probably.
she does she does that to everybody. It's a sign of affection.
There was one show, it was at Shinkiba, First Ring. I have to go back and find it, where she just hit everybody with it.
There you go. And I think that's exactly what will happen this time around with her appearance here too. She's gonna hit everybody with that pan.
And they deserve it.
All of them.
Yes.
So judgmental.
So we move on to match of the tournament and wrestle of the tournament. I watch one match. I'm just going to give it to the finals and Ayabe.
Imagine the tournament. What could it be? You've only watched one match.
Well, you go. What's your match and wrestler?
So for the rest of the tournament, I'm gonna go with Go, I think, because I like their team the best, and I thought seeing him in it was, and he had a lot of fresh matches in the tournament, to be fair. So that's something that's really cool when it comes to that. As far as the match in the tournament, I thought the final was okay. Like, it wasn't bad. Like, the thing is, with Zion and Odyssey, there's a ceiling. If we're being honest, it's not going to be a great match in all likelihood. I think that a match that I really enjoyed was, again, I don't think they got the most out of them as a team. But in terms of match quality, I would say Musashi and Yoshioka versus Go and Ashino from Night 3. Check that out. It was the main event of that show, and it was really good. And I thought it was, like, again, not like a banger where you're gonna tell all your friends and say, no, you have to drop everything to watch it. But it was a great match, and they had great chemistry together. It was really nice to see Go work with people that are significantly smaller than him. And I think he really excelled in that role too. So good stuff there.
I remember last year, Musashi and Sekigoshoka had like one of the matches of the tournament against Mashimo and Sekimoto. Do you remember?
Musashi and Yoshioka are a really good team. And there's another one that's had, like, they really helped bring that off. The early run they had where they were both, Yoshioka won and then dropped it to Musashi, and then he had a run. I thought that really elevated the title. They were able to bring that up to a new level. So they're a really good tag team.
So we have reached the end of another episode. I want to thank you all for listening and supporting Jumping Knee Pod. You can find me at Sister Jessie and Railroad 72 on Twitter and also on Blue Sky at Sister Jessie. And where can people find you and listen to you?
Anybody who wants to check me out can check me out at Viva underscore zero on Twitter, Viva Zero on Blue Sky, at Eastern Lariat everywhere, pretty much for my show, which is all about all of Japanese wrestling, not just All Japan. We cover New Japan, Noah. We talked about 01 on the last episode, even. We talked about Joshi on that show, Dragon Gate, DDT. I push for more Dragon Gate and Joshi and Striga. He goes along with me sometimes there, but we have a lot of fun on the show. We're actually It's kind of important that you check us out now, though, because we're coming up on the year-end awards, where it comes to determining the best of the year in Japanese pro wrestling, and they've been really popular in the last few years. I want to see some good voting this year, and we get some good winners, which has happened every single time. I think there's been, like, literally one person that won an award where I was like, man, I think this was a bad choice in the last 3 or 4 years, and I won't be me. Everybody knows it was Julia that year that she won, which I didn't think she deserved it. As much as I love her as a wrestler and everything about her, pretty much, but I just didn't think that was a great vote. But nevertheless, I hope everybody has fun. We want to hear the voices. I don't care if you like one promotion, if you've barely seen any wrestling.
I'm trying desperately to get Jessica to vote on them every year. I failed many times, which is nothing new. It's like, please, please vote for this, and I'm putting it out there again. Please, but not just her. I'm saying it to you too, the listeners. I'm saying it to everyone listening. Please vote on the year-end awards. We need you, and your opinion is valid no matter how little wrestling you watch this year.
Jumping Napod will have their end of year awards next, the Jumpies, as you name them. So it will be the second annual Jumpies. So look out for that. But thank you, Dylan, and thanks everyone once again. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
For the first time ever in LA, the icons of FC Barcelona and Real Madrid take the pitch at BMO Stadium.
Ronaldinho, pura magia!
Witness Ronaldinho and the FC Barcelona legends live in Los Angeles. Watch the Legend Series, FC Barcelona versus Real Madrid, live in LA on February 22nd at BMO Stadium. For tickets and exclusives, go to wearehouseofheroes.com.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.